The collect that we have in today's propers, and that's a short summary prayer, is a very tight encapsulation of Christian doctrine that's important for us to understand. In the first place, we're asking that God would give us grace, and that itself is a very important point. We need his grace to do what? To withstand the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. So we are in humility asking for God's grace to obey his will, understanding that we cannot do that without him. So next week we'll hear another collect that will have a phrase very similar. O Almighty God, forasmuch as without thee we are not able to please thee, mercifully grant that thy Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts. So here is the proclamation now, written in this form, or prayed now in this form. We're praying these truths, we're praying good theology, that God will have to supply that which he commands. God commands us to love him with heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love neighbor as self. We cannot do it without him. We have to have his power within us to do that. And so that is our glory, is his indwelling that allows us to worship and adore him in the right way. We also prayed at the very beginning of the Mass that God would cleanse our hearts and give us the ability to worship and adore him in the right way. So the collect for purity is also that way. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly adore thee. So there is this understanding that without him we can do nothing. As Jesus says, without me you can do nothing. So we assimilate that, we pray that. Without him we can do nothing. We cannot do the things that he would have us do without him. So we continually ask for his grace. In the first place, negatively, or put it this way, positively against the negation of sin, we're asking for his grace. So we understand that our human nature is not able to withstand the temptations of sin unless we have the grace of God holding us upright. Remember the famous phrase of Oscar Wilde, "Only one thing I cannot resist, temptation." But he had a deep understanding of human nature there. We would be opposed to the teaching of Pelagius, a 4th-century heretic from the British Isles. And he was one who made the claim that man was born morally neutral and that he had it within his power to do either good or evil. And that by his own strength, he could do acts of righteousness, do the right thing. And that would come from his own strength, so that Adam could, or the sons of Adam, a man born into this world, could then perfect himself by his own effort. This is a very deep teaching, or deep, basically religious idea that permeates society, especially those cultures that come out of the British Isles. It's very deeply woven into the American ethos of pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, right? Oh, you did that on your own, did you? Yeah, I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. I did it my way, in my time, with my power, right? It's kind of the hyper-individualistic expression. But truthfully, we would say that no, a person can't do these things by themselves. They incline towards sin and they will fall over like a tree that is unsupported, right? It's already leaning over. You take the support out, it falls right over. And that is what is inherent in their nature. They don't have within them that which will do good. They instead have in them a fallen nature, and that is what will cause them to do evil. So if you want to know what's really in a person, well, let's take scriptures, let's take the biblical witness so that we can understand it. After the fall, after Adam and Eve rebelled against God and brought death into the world, they did multiply, and they had children. Those children had children. And what was the biblical witness of their righteousness? Well, in the first generation, Cain kills Abel. Not a good track record, fratricide in the first generation. And then God looks upon the face of the earth and he sees that the heart of man is evil continuously. There is no good thought in the hearts of men. They're doing evil. And so he decides to flood the earth and bring a universal judgment upon the earth for the sins and the wickedness of mankind. It repents him that he's made man in his own image, and that now, look what's happened. They're evil. He does find favor in, Noah finds favor in his sight, so he saves Noah, his wife, their three sons, and their three wives. So 8 souls are saved upon the ark to restart the human race. And then it still has that wickedness in it, native to it, inherent in it. We see that at the time of the building of the Tower of Babel. The earth is of one language. The peoples get together. They say, we will build a tower to heaven using the technology of brick and, you know, mud brick and slime. They're going to build a tower to heaven, to conquer heaven. They don't need God to come down to them. They'll go up to God by their own efforts. You see man's attempt to be as God, but without God. Man's attempt to save himself. And again it goes. If we look at the prophets, they will tell us the truth. Isaiah will tell us that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Jeremiah will tell us the truth that the heart of man is desperately wicked. We will see in the testimony of the New Testament, when Jesus again says, you can do no good thing without me, he's telling us what is in our nature, or he says, what proceeds out of the heart of a human being? Adulteries, fornications, thefts, wickedness, that's what comes out of the heart of man. There has to be a rescue, a redemption, and Christ has brought that by his death, his suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension, by the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now we must be born again, and it's made possible by the saving work of Christ applied to us by the agency of the Holy Spirit. Now there's something new in our hearts. And when that manifests itself, when we do the right thing and show love, well, that is our glory. Your glory is Christ in you. That is the beauty of what is happening now as we are living out right now the redemption of our human race as we're baptized into Christ's body. He now indwells us, and he in us is bringing love into the world. But we never forget that it's his power. This is not native to us. It has been given to us. And so those things that are given to us, we don't forget the giver, and we give glory to God for all the good that is in our life, for any good that we have done. If we have resisted sin, we give God the glory. It was his grace and strength that made that possible. We cannot resist on our own strength. The arm of flesh will fail you. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Right? There is no strength in us. It is God's strength in us. So we don't presume upon that. We don't presume that if we've been able to resist sin in its many forms and resist, you know, pride, envy, and greed, and gluttony, and lust, and wrath, and sloth, oh, we've done that. Give the victory. The victory is Christ in us. And we don't presume that we have that of our own strength. An analogy might be if we thought about a woman who's in a sailing race, and she comes back from doing the mile race, and she's hit at a phenomenal speed of 55 knots. It's a record for the club and for the country. And people are saying she's the fastest woman on water, and she starts to believe that I'm the fastest woman on water. Well, she didn't run on that water; she had something underneath her. She had a whole architecture of technology underneath her, helping her go 55 knots across the face of the water. And that's akin to our having a real structure underneath us that allows us to do those things that are right and good and loving. We've been brought up in a culture that showed us how to do that. Loving parents and godparents have showed us the way. We have the Bible. That's a tremendous gift that God has given to us, his living word. We've been given the gift of baptism, the sacraments of the church to uphold us. We come to Holy Communion to receive the living bread, and that sustains us in our life of righteousness. All this is architecture, lifting us up, helping us do those things that are right. We don't forget that. We're not saying that we're able to hit that speed without the boat. There's something underneath us holding us up, right? And how presumptuous is it if that woman says, well, I'm the fastest woman on water? Well, what powers the sailboat? You can't sail without the wind. We can't sail without the Holy Spirit. We cannot love without that Spirit. There is no, if there's no wind that day, there's no breaking speed records. If there's no wind in us, if there's no Ruach Adonai, the Spirit of God in us, there is no love. And so when these things happen, when we do resist temptation, when we do those things that are loving, when we show mercy, loving kindness, long suffering, when we do those things that edify others, when we build up and for the kingdom of God, these things are all to his glory and by his power in us. We don't forget to give God the glory. And these colics help us remember that. Well, Almighty God, give us grace that we may withstand the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And with pure hearts and minds, follow thee, the only God. These are necessary prayers. And so in humility, may we not steal God's glory, even though it's shining through us, like light through the stained glass window. Let us not forget that light that gave us the glory. Let us in humility give him the glory, the honor, the thanksgiving, the praise for all that is good in us, and pray that he will expand it out, that we may bring him more glory and honor. May his grace freely flow in us, and may he have all the glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.